The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 24th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now on that same day when Jesus had appeared to Mary Magdalene, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and talking with each other about all the things that had happened. While they were talking and discussing, Jesus himself came near and went with them, but their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What are you discussing with each other while you walk along?" They stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem who does not know the things that have taken place in these last days?" He asked them, "What things?" They replied, "The things about Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and leaders handed him over to be condemned to death and crucified him. We had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things took place. Moreover, some of our women of our group astonished us. They were at the tomb early this morning, and when they did not find his body there, they came back and told us that they had indeed seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see him." Then he said to them, "Oh, how foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have declared. Was it not necessary that the Messiah should suffer these things and then enter into his glory?" Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted unto them the things about himself in all the scriptures. As they came near the village to which they were going, he walked along as if he was going on, but they urged him strongly, saying, "Stay with us, because it is almost evening, and the day is now nearly over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he vanished from their sight. They said to each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he was talking to us on the road, while he was opening the scriptures to us?" In that same hour they got up and returned to Jerusalem, and they found the 11 and their companions gathered there. They were saying, "The Lord has risen indeed, and he has appeared to Simon." Then they told him what happened on the road, and how he had been made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If you've ever been around a toddler, whether one of your own or another, and you've had the privilege of reading a book to a toddler, you know that many often suffer from what I call the agains. Again. Your smiles and laughter means that you know exactly what I'm talking about. As soon as you finish a beloved's children's book and close the final cover, the toddler replies, "Again." Maybe they're smart enough to know that that keeps them from having to be put to bed, but it almost might be a love for story. And the next night when you ask, "What book do you want to read?" they grab the same book and say, "Again." My current toddler is so good at this that he tells me what happens on the next page before we even turn to it. But this idea of finding a story that you love and reading it over and over again, Pete the Cat was a popular one at first service this morning, is a reminder that we love to know the story. And we love to know how the story is going to go. And when you tell a kid no to again, they might just get emotional. You know, that word emotional has a powerful place in our gospel text here today, because it's not one that Luke uses very often. But the word soizeto is used today to describe the mood of these two men who are walking from Jerusalem to Emmaus. About 7 miles in length, that'd be like heading from here across the river to the zoo, on foot, trying to figure out everything that just happened that morning. This is early afternoon on the day of the resurrection, and these men have now started to hear stories that they're not sure what they believe about the women who in their group who went to the tomb and found it empty. They're still even uncertain of the collaboration that the other men have come back and offered. And so they're making their way to Emmaus, trying to figure all of it out. It's not just scientific or rhetorical discussion, but it's rooted in soizeto, emotion. And these guys are emotional, trying to figure out what has happened that morning and what is going on with the one who they presumed to be their Lord. And so sure enough, when a stranger walks up among them, we see right away in that dialogue that there too is a lot of emotion taking place. And they almost get upset with the stranger when he says, "What thing's going on? Haven't you heard? Are you the only one clueless to everything that has happened in Jerusalem in these last days?" Not simply an explanation, but a response filled with emotion and angst and uncertainty about what's happening and what is taking place and how that's all going to play out. But they cannot see that they are there with their Lord. They cannot see that the one who walks with them is the one who they have followed as disciples. The one who they have walked along on a journey, seeing, teaching, and preaching, and healing at every stop along the way. And so they go on to say and share how distraught they are and how uncertain and all of the emotion that comes with that. And Jesus continues just to be present. But you know what? That's not far off from our lives that we lead today. Because our daily walk, our daily journey is filled with those same soizeto emotional moments that these two disciples shared today. How often do we fly off the handle or get frustrated or uncertain or a little bit upset when our emotional state causes us to be uncertain in where the walk leads us? When we're uncertain about the emotional state of some of the relationships that we have in our lives, in our home, with our friends, at work, and what does this mean, and what's going on? That fear and uncertainty of those that we live around each day. It's that fear and uncertainty that continues with our own health and well-being and those that we care about, and we get emotional as we wait for a diagnosis or for that appointment that seems so far in the future just to know what's going on. We get emotional when we don't get the words of positive hope that we would from the doctor or to see that the medicine's not working the way that it's supposed to. We get emotional when we see the brain decline in somebody that we love and see them losing shape of what their mind holds true. We get emotional when we read the news and see the midst of this ever-changing world and all that we face each day and the struggles of the world around us. So like those disciples, we understand what it means to be soizetio. We understand what it means to lead emotional lives when we just want to know that everything is going to be okay, but we don't even know even when we're told it's true. And so Jesus does what Jesus does best, tells the story. I think the most underappreciated verse in all of this passage, because it often just gets looked as a transfer verse from one part of the story to the next, is actually the most important. And it's verse 27. "Then beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus interpreted to them the things about himself and all the scriptures." For 7 miles, Jesus walked with these men. Imagine for 7 miles from here to the zoo, being told time and time again about how God has, is, and will continue to be active in the world. How just as God sent Moses to be called to lead the people out of Egypt, out of a land of slavery, eventually to a land of milk and honey, to be with God's people as they would suffer through exile multiple times in the Old Testament, and to lead them to the place where a new Messiah would be declared in the New Testament in Christ Jesus. And there along that journey, as their eyes cannot see, they are made to feel warm and comforted by the power of Jesus' words, because he tells the story over and over again for them to hear. And that, my friends, is what all of us who are emotional need. We need to hear the story. You know, we come to church every week. We come to church to hear God's word, to hear the stories, to hear God's promises. And you know what? In 2,000 years, they haven't changed. We're not adding anything new. This book is the same as it has been for the countless generations before ours. But what God invites us to do is week after week tell this story in scripture and in sermon and in song, in Sunday school and in life together, to make this story known to all God's people, so that even though we don't see the fullness of it yet, we are reminded in God's presence in our lives along the way. As the disciples are making their journey on that 7-mile walk, these two start to become less emotional and more just engaged in what Jesus is saying. That by the time he's ready to continue to walk on, they want him to stay. And isn't that what we want too? We want to keep hearing those stories. We, like toddlers, cry out, "Again, tell us more. Share this story again." Because there's so much that we need to hear, that this is the strongest source of comfort in our otherwise emotional and chaotic lives. We need this journey. And we need to hear this story, starting from the beginning and all the way through Jesus' presence in our lives to today. We need to hear it as often as possible. So I had a Road to Emmaus journey once. And I didn't walk 7 miles. It was actually on a plane. And I wasn't heading to Emmaus, rather Baltimore. I was a new pastor and I'd been invited to a conference with Project Connect and was excited about going on somebody else's dime to a cool event where I could experience a lot of continuing education and hearing more of the story. And I found myself on the plane from Charlotte to Baltimore sitting next to a man who I could tell had had a long business trip, his business card sticking out of the side of his briefcase, and he just plopped down in his seat. I thought, I'm just going to give him his space and read my magazine and spend the hour and 46 minutes in quiet until we're out of the gate pulling onto the tarmac, and he looks over at me and says, "So what do you do?" I said, "Well, I'm in ministry. I pastor a church down in South Carolina." He wanted to hear the story. For the next 106 minutes, all that man did was ask questions. He wanted to be reminded of those Bible stories that he learned as a kid and really get the full adult version of what he had been told. He wanted to know of his upbringing in a denomination very similar to ours, but not ours, and what that meant and what that was going on today and what church was like. And you could clearly see that this man who had long since become disconnected from church was just like a toddler who wanted to hear the story again. And so for 1 hour and 46 minutes, minus the time it took to order my Coke, I answered his questions. And we told the story together. He told the story of his life, of his struggles, of those things that made him soizetto and emotional and led him to being on the road 30 weeks of the year. We told the stories of a loving God who in a changing world was still present, even as the church that he might have remembered as a kid might look different today. And we told the story of a God who is present in a world that is changing faster than we could ever imagine. We had our walk to Emmaus, and we got to share the story. We didn't end by breaking bread together, but rather I asked if I could pray with him as we were pulling up to the gate. In that moment, I reminded him that he will always know the story, that he holds that story in his baptism, and then I encouraged him before he stood up when the bell rang, "My friend, go to church sometime, and if it's Lutheran, that's okay with me." I never know if that man ended up going to church or not, and we never crossed paths again. But it's a powerful reminder that we are given the opportunity to share the story. We are given the opportunity again and again to proclaim how God is at work in our lives. And I'll tell you this, you don't need to be seminary educated or a Sunday school all-star to tell the story. Rather, we can talk about how God is at work in our lives through what we do here at this church and how God calls us daily to live out our story each and every day. It's a story that our dear friend Lena has lived out for this church for 15 years ago that we celebrate today. It's a story that our youngest youth who are preparing for the National Youth Gathering get to live out every day. It's a story for all of us who gather here in worship to share with all those we encounter, knowing that we know the end of the story, the breaking of the bread, and the promise of what's to come. It's been 2 weeks since our Easter Sunday, since all of the trumpets and fanfare of that morning. This story takes place on that same day. But in those 2 weeks, I have had a few occasions where I've been with those of you in this congregation who have suffered death in your families. And what I found myself saying as I was praying with each of you was the same thing week after week in this Easter season. The prayer went something like, "We know that our loved one now sees the fullnesses of your promise in the kingdom of God, the forgiveness of our sins, and life everlasting. And we pray that you sustain us still living in our grief to be nourished each day towards that." That, my friends, is what we do in the story. That is why we come to the table every week. That is why we break bread together. That is why we do this again and again and again. Whether our 7-mile walk takes us along these roads, on flights across the country, or into our daily lives each day, God invites us to hear and share the story again and again. May we go forth confident that our eyes have been opened to the loving God made known in the death and resurrection of Christ Jesus our Lord. And may we share that again and again. Alleluia. Amen.